This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's Mike Shope.
Last night at 12:30 in the morning, I ate a can of mushrooms. I did. Pieces and stems, if you're wondering. As opposed to buttons, it was pieces and stems, which will be my next year's fantasy football team name.
Pieces and stems.
Pieces and stems.
And the Bulldog.
I should be ashamed to admit this publicly, but whatever. How long have we been doing this? I'm a junkie. I can't be trusted.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
I think I know what your answer to this question will be, but I'm going to ask it.
Okay.
Are you following with interest the Belichick stuff? I'm trying so hard not to.
I think you were expecting me to say no, but I'm interested enough that I clicked on a story. I read his statement today.
CBS just made a statement of its own.
Oh, okay.
There were no conditions
or
limitations agreed upon.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. The whole, I don't know.
Can you wear a shirt that doesn't have a hole in it next time? Maybe.
See, now, I don't care enough to have known that. I did not know that. I guess I didn't notice it in, I saw a still shot
a ripped,
of the interview, but I didn't.
Ripped sweatshirt with a hole in it by the shoulder. Yeah. I mean, I'm not, who do I want for this?
I'm not sure.
I don't even know anymore. I mean, there's no cultural icons anymore. There's a guy, you know, repping a credit card. There's a gecko. Who are the cultural icons in this society anymore? Who do you look up to?
You're referring to the bank guy that's on the stage with Derek Jeter and
right,
an astronaut.
Right,
that guy.
Don't get me started. You're going to go whatever that is, an assembly, and really the premise is we're here for a guy who's just trying to, you know, talk you into a credit card in this economy. That's cool.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, Belichick looked a little sloppy, is what you're saying here.
That's his brand, I guess.
Maybe if the significant other is going to meddle to the extent that she seems to be, at the very least, being accused of, she's not flat out meddling. Meddling sounds like it's not invited. I mean, I'm assuming he's good with it. Otherwise, you know, it wouldn't be happening. Maybe she needs to get on him about his closet, maybe a little bit. There's what I'm hearing. But I did not notice that. I did see some.
You know her name?
I'm afraid I don't know it off. I'm going to know it when you say it because I've read it enough times.
I only know her first name is Jordan.
Yeah.
Her last name, I think, is six letters, but I don't know it.
Yeah.
At least I have that going for me.
I thought I saw some footage of him doing some coaching on the field at what I guess would be like pre-spring practice or something in North Carolina, and her in some sort of like knee-high boots helping, which I thought was, okay. All hands on deck, I guess. I mean, I don't know.
Are they America's couple? Is Allen and Haley Steinfeld America's couple, or is Belichick and Jordan?
I don't know
her last name. Who is America's couple? Never mind. Rhetorical question. I'm not asking you for an answer.
I don't think I
have no idea who it would be.
I'm not
when I thought about like dress up, who you know, maybe I thought of Pee Wee Herman. who's dead, that's like from the 80s where he wore a tuxedo. That's what I thought of. And I didn't really need Belichick in a tuxedo. I just thought, like, here's somebody I think of as being sort of dressed, you know, put together. He had a, but even that's like a costume, so that doesn't even work. And it's from forever ago.
Yeah.
Let's start again. Wide receiver? No. We were talking earlier about your attitude about the Bills. Because in the last 2 days, what's kind of come out is we kind of got past what happened Monday morning and into just sort of like the meat of the draft and the team overall, the offseason, is you've got fans who, you're one or the other, you've got fans who are more than not grateful for it and are almost maybe take offense to criticism of them, you know, the kind of stuff that we've had the last couple of days, which was not just Bean's behavior, but, you know, what he did in this draft. And then you also have, well, those people who have kind of had enough of the excuses, they might say, they might call it, for how the Bills have, you know, figured out ways to not, in a more, you know, expensive, substantive way, gone after receivers. I don't need to have the conversation again. I like the conversation about your feelings, you know, just whether you're more the grateful Bills fan for all their success, we know what preceded it, or the fan who's like
tired of waiting,
tired of losing the same way to the same team every year in the playoffs when your team, parentheses, your quarterback, are so good. And I mean, I get both. There are both. I end up more in the latter camp. It's just how I am. It's really all about, not all. I mean, I certainly can enjoy sports, you know, in a vacuum, and almost any sport in that way. But with the Bills and the Sabres, it's a quest. It's a quest. It's a quest to win one someday ever. Sneaky Joe sent me a text earlier when he heard us talking about this. And he mentioned how he was at their draft party Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that when people were there, ESPN put a graphic up. I was watching NFL Network. I didn't see this. ESPN put a graphic up. Bills have the most wins in NFL history over six seasons without making a Super Bowl.
Right. I saw that.
And the whole crowd booed or groaned. Like, what? Offended by it? Not booing that would not exactly be being proud of it.
Right. That's frustrating. That is frustrated booing, I assume. Not even mad that you're pointing it out on TV at the draft, right? Like, you could boo. Like, I don't want to see, don't remind me of that. Like, don't, like I mentioned earlier with Butchergrass saying about the misery of Leafs fans, and I'm over here in Buffalo going, dude, ah. No, that's frustration. And look, I'm not going to lie. I definitely come down more in the grateful side of things myself. But I saw that Thursday night, and I don't think I was watching with anyone in particular that I recall. Maybe Fred was in the room with me. I don't know if I groaned, but if I was going to make a sound at that moment, it would have been a groan. I don't know about a boo, but it would have been like, oh, geez. You know, so on one hand, it's, wow, that's really great. No one's won more games, you know. But geez, it's a tough mantle.
It reminds me of Nick Costos' point from last Wednesday, and I don't think I've ever really known this. What did he have? No team, the Ravens too, the Bills and the Ravens, coach and quarterback together for so long. No team with that has ever won a Super Bowl after.
But once you get beyond a certain point in time with the same coach and quarterback combination, continuing to bang on the door has not worked. Yeah, that was it. Whatever this amount of time is, that Jackson and Allen obviously came into the league at the same time, so they're joined at the hip on their timeline here with Harbaugh and McDermott, respectively.
7 years.
7 years, and yeah, that was, yeah. I didn't ever think to question it or look it up or anything, but okay. That might be pretty telling, but I mean, at the same time, like, am I supposed to assume that because of that, the Bills or Ravens aren't winning this year. I mean, they're both going to be real contenders in the AFC again, I would expect.
But that was Nick's take, and that is that you can have that take.
Yeah.
Right? That you can go either way with it. What's happened in either case or both is evidence that they're going to come up short. They don't have the right mix, or they don't have the right something. Or you can be like, I'm losing to Kansas City every year by a field goal. One of these times, it's going to turn right. It's going to turn out right. Then, of course, you have to win the next game, or however many other games there are.
Right. These losses haven't all been in the AFC Championship game, only two of them.
You can't win a Super Bowl by beating the Chiefs alone. But still, you know, it's obvious. Like, they're close enough where you might think it's even crazy. We've had these conversations every offseason since, you know, this started, to consider changes. And your changes wouldn't be Allen.
No, obviously not. No.
Some of these teams, if you think about it, maybe you can think of them. I don't know if I have it yet, but examples would include ones where the quarterback maybe would get the blame for the losses, you know, choking in the playoffs or something, and not the coach. Now it seems the coaching changes are easier. It's, you got Allen, you know, you wouldn't think of changing out Allen, but still, like, what would it cost you? If you wanted to do it, what would it cost you? You couldn't just, it's not even worth debating. It would be a coaching change there if you wanted to change that. Baltimore, too. Anyway.
Yeah. There is the unfortunate timing of their arrival in the league being preceded by 1 year by the guy in Kansas City. Like that, and that it is not just a normal adversary to overcome. It seems like one with the coach included that is, you know, particularly challenging to get by, and both organizations have the same problem. And, you know, that it's right to consider these jobs do not last forever. I don't know when it runs out. Like, I struggle with you. You've said, like, this year for you. Like, you should or maybe have to. I don't know. I struggle with that. Like, I don't think I could sit here and say what you said back in whenever that was you said that, February.
And yesterday.
Because you're right, to repeat it. I don't know. I can't just decide, okay, this is enough. I don't know. Like, but it's more reasonable maybe to do that than react in a temper tantrum about something that goes wrong, like, say, I did after the Philly game. If I were in charge of the Bills, I would have fired Sean McDermott after that Philadelphia game. Season before last. That's how angry I was. But, you know, there's a reason you don't make those kinds of decisions when you're hot, when you're angry, or emotionally, the other side of it. Like, you need to be level and calm, like, not overreacting one way or the other. And any kind of emotion, positive or negative, is going to influence that. And it probably is better to have more of a plan, I guess, but I don't know, that's a tough concept for me. After all the success they've had, I just can't say, okay, this is it. I don't know. I don't know how that's all going to unfold. I look forward to talking about it with you as the year goes on. Not that we'll be revisiting it constantly or anything. But
I hope not.
Yeah.
I hope not. But not that this is bad. It's likely to be another season where the playoffs are probably pretty close to a formality, like last year was, and like some of the, not every year, but some of these years have been. 2 years ago got a little dicey, but ultimately, of course they made it. Week 18.
Right, to win the division. Ago, right, they could have been eliminated on
the last day.
When that day started.
That's right. Right. But you know, probably this year will be, They'll be in. They might not win the division, but they'll be in. We'll see. Just probably. And if that's what you're facing, then, well, how do you sort of talk about it, look forward to it? You can do that in a lot of ways, but it's really all about the playoffs. That's the
question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The whole consideration, talking about a coaching change or something, it's about the playoffs. They have the most wins ever over six seasons for a team that hasn't made it to the championship round or the Super Bowl. So it's really all about the postseason. The thing, this has come up the last couple of days. You're drafting for the long term as well as the short term, and maybe more so for the long term. The idea now, you hear it put in the context of the second contract. Is this, should I draft a running back? Am I going to want to pay him a second contract? These are all players that you hope to be able to want to sign to a second contract. So it's like 5 years plus where, you know, you're sort of hoping with these guys. Shortened, it's this season. Okay, TJ Sanders, how much does he play? I've got these other, you know, I've got Daquan Jones. We'll have to see. And on down the line.
Mm-hmm.
And then you shorten it more for a team that should be in the playoffs. Pro Football Network, they send me an email every day. I really don't know much about what it is, but I always read the emails. It's lots of good stats and information. And they did a breakdown today on each team's playoff odds, like by their analysis, and the Bills had the highest in the NFL. 97.3% or something it was. I don't know what went into their analysis, but probably win totals.
Sure.
Other divisions weak.
The division, right. Yeah.
So you shorten that one more time, then it's, okay, I'm on the field at Arrowhead Stadium. It's the fourth quarter. The game is tied. What does my draft do for me in that situation? Because that's what's going to make the difference. And maybe TJ Sanders makes a play up the middle. Maybe Maxwell Hairston picks off Patrick Mahomes. You know, that's why you're doing this. That's right. What you're hoping to get. And I think part of the receiver point, I'm not trying to make it about that, because you could do this for other positions besides receiver, but part of that for me is in that fourth quarter, having a player that I can beat you with.
That scares you. That scares my opponent.
And they do not have that.
Right.
Like, that's, they had a great season without it. If you want to say, if you agree, you'd say they didn't have it. They had a great season without it, and maybe they can win next time without that player. But they do not have that player. And it would have come at the expense of TJ Sanders, you know, who, in one way or another, that's what that would have been. Or maybe not Sanders necessarily.
Maybe Deion Walker.
Jackson.
Whatever, yeah. Yeah.
Landon Jackson?
Yeah, Landon Jackson.
You know, you get the point. So it's a long time before they even kick off. But that, I think, is really, like, it comes down to however difficult this really is. You can't know almost anything about, it's funny, I say this, you can't really know the situation. Who are you playing? What kind of game is it? Despite the fact that three of the last 4 years, they've had the same thing. They've had the same situation.
Very similar, right?
Against the same team in the same state. Well, one game was here, two in Kansas City. I'm thinking about 13 seconds in the last two playoff losses. So, you know, you can maybe do a little well trying to expect, predict,
right,
a certain opponent and a certain kind of game. And what are you going to do? Who are you adding to your team that can help win that game for you? I mean, it's kind of really hard to know the answer.
Yep.
But that is part of the thinking when it comes to their drafting.
And I think it is objectively fair to look at what they've done, who they've chosen, when they've chosen them. I already want to back out of making such a definitive statement about it, because they did use their top asset in an offseason 2 years ago on a tight end, and then last year on a receiver, albeit trading down and trading down with the team that we're talking about as your adversary and whatever. So it's not – it just feels like the defense thing has – They've done this before. They did this after the 2020 season, and now they're doing it again. And it's not like every year you should be choosing which side of the ball to be emphasizing in your draft. You mostly should be trying to draft the best players that are available regardless of all of that. But that's maybe a little idealistic when the margins are as thin as we're talking about here, when one guy might make the difference. But you can probably already sense, and maybe some of the audience can too. I hope they're not rolling their eyes. Like, 2 years in a row, you've gotten to that point at the end of the game and not been able to get there. Just for whatever reason, you just have not been able to get there. And no, that doesn't mean that if they had drafted player X, that they would have. Right, if the Bills had stayed put last year and drafted Xavier Worthy at 28 instead of trading down with Kansas City and then trading out of the first round entirely and choosing Keon Coleman, that he makes a play for you in that spot when you needed it on that final drive.
At least he wouldn't make one for Kansas City.
Right, right. And you would have – you'd be a little less – assailable about the point, because you did it again. You didn't defer in any way. You didn't give up some advantage, perceived or actual, to your biggest adversary. You just did the thing. And furthermore, it's a piece that, from the outside, would have made more sense skill set wise. It's not a duplicate of a slot player. It's a fast player, the fastest player in the draft, a player that you've not had that style of player really at all through this run, at least in any meaningful way. Deontay Hardy's the closest you can get. And what did he play, 15% of the snaps on offense or something the year he was here? He hardly existed on offense. Thank you for the punt return that won you the division. It's not nothing, but still. That is sort of the crux of the receiver point, is do you have enough there? And, I like the Todd Bowles comment that ended the last segment. That's where I think I want my coach to be.
Jordan Schultz reports that the Bills are signing Elijah Moore. 1 year, up to $5 million. Okay. Just as I was sitting here thinking, we've got to change the subject, the Bills are signing Elijah Moore. And so we'll be discussing that after the update. 803-0550, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Play action on first down. As Winston throws to the end zone, it is caught. Touchdown, Elijah Moore.
Okay. The train keeps running in more ways than one. Wide receiver Elijah Moore signed by the Bills reportedly. And I've said before, his name came up earlier this week when it was reported that and confirmed that he was visiting. Then again yesterday when there was the report about
some tag that was put on him. Right, yeah.
The Browns, I believe, will get a compensatory pick now because they did that, and the Bills signed him anyway, so they can't keep him. I've said how I think of Elijah Moore, the 2021 draft, the Bills picked 30th, again, that year, coming off of an AFC Championship loss to Kansas City, as like a fun idea. All right, we've got this. Mm-hmm. It's the COVID year. Look at Allen. I felt 2020 like they should have won it. It was the one chief playoff game that was not close. But that's always sort of baffled me how they ended up losing so badly that day. But they were as good as anybody. Chiefs lose to Tampa in the Super Bowl that year. Anyway.
By a lot, whatever that's worth.
By a lot. Yeah. Diggs, Davis, They've got the great quarterback now that's established. Let's just drop Elijah Moore into that offense and see what happens at pick 30. He for me, and I wouldn't be the one to know this, to Jeremy or Joe or somebody, although Joe is working with us then, and I think of Joe and Elijah Moore together. Because Elijah Moore, Rondale Moore, who's still in the league, he's been hurt. I think now he's with Minnesota. These are the two guys for me that were at the beginning of it. 20 is the Diggs trade. So they went hard there, and that was a home run. Yeah, all right. They've got a great receiver in Diggs and a good one in Davis.
Brown and Beasley are aging.
Let's go do this.
Yeah, yeah.
And they didn't. They drafted two edge rushers in a row, Rousseau at 30. Moore goes 34 to the Jets. I remember being jealous. Like, all right, I understand the Bills are going to – what do they do? It's very familiar, isn't it? They mm-hmm. went – they said, we need to get to Patrick Mahomes or, just quarterbacks, so let's do that. Moore goes to the Jets, and it doesn't work. Like, right – nothing happens. And the next year, during the season, he demands a trade.
He wants out, right. I remember that kind of being somewhat of an eye roll.
Yeah.
From me. Like, okay. In part because you guys were so, hot on him.
Yes.
I just sort of thought, like, what has this guy done? Demanding a trade? What are you talking about? You've been in the league for like 4 minutes. Calm down.
Yeah, I know.
Stay in your lane.
At the same time, it's the Zach Wilson Jets, right?
Like, just right.
What kind of chance does a receiver have? He gets his trade, but it's to the Browns of all teams. And not
in,
much
in the
really
off season
there.
Too, right? It wasn't during the season. I think he went.
Yes.
Yeah, it was in March when he got traded.
So, yes.
Yeah.
So then he's on the Browns for 2 years and does only a little bit. I don't know what the ceiling is here. He's young. You have Brandon Bean saying multiple times about the draft. At least I want to say specifically about the draft.
Right.
That he didn't see a guy with what they needed, on defense and everything as the draft was rolling along, that he would put above his top four. And I don't know, like, this is not a draft pick.
That's right. I was waiting to sort of make a crack about that, but it is right to differentiate the draft from, a veteran player who's got a provable skill set within the league. On the surface, there is speed here. I mean, he ran, I think, a 4.35 coming out. So that's, that I think is an element that I can use, but he's, I think, I don't have, I've not yet gotten to the snap breakdowns formationally where he plays, but he feels like a slot guy to me, which is not ideal. I mean, but I that feels like and is are different things. I just want to make sure that I'm saying that. I don't know what the breakdown is and how he's been used, and that doesn't necessarily mean that he has to be used that way. Plenty of people thought Keon Coleman should be a slot receiver, and the Bills hardly ever used him in the slot. He was a boundary receiver. So we'll see. But his size and his profile sort of indicates to me like that's a slot guy. But so I don't know. I don't know where that fits. If the speed is one piece, but is he someone that is going to be used down the field like that? I guess we'll have to wait and see what sort of analysis we get on that.
5'10", 180. PFF grade last year out of 98 wide receivers, he was graded 92nd. Receiving grade 93rd. Overall grade 92nd. He must have done something else. Maybe he made a block.
I see.
He did something to move up one spot in the PFF grade. I could be optimistic about this, but I don't know where he ranks. It's more reminiscent of last year with Claypool and MVS to me than anything else. We are post-draft now, and really mostly post-free agency. I mean, just a few guys hanging around, like him. He was free agent enough for the Bills to be able to bring him in and sign him.
Yeah. At least caught 61 balls last year after 59 the year before in Cleveland. So I don't know that Claypool was anywhere near that kind of production by the time he got around to signing with the Bills or the Bills really taking a flyer on him. So there's at least, I think, recently a little more than what you had there, but it might end up being about pretty close.
Yeah, Claypool just was moving teams, you know? Moore at least was on the Browns for a couple of years. Jay is with us. Hi, Jay.
Hey, guys. So I'll give my knee-jerk reaction. So I see a point there, Bulldog, but I'm kind of thinking the same thing you just said, Mike, with the Claypool-ish kind of move. I look at this and I say, oh, okay, you know what? I'm not ungrateful. It's a nice player, but don't we have a lot of nice players on this team? And I say to myself, okay, where does he play? Yeah, Bulldog, slot, 5'10", 180. Okay, speed, we all talk about speed, 4.35. But that was like 4 or 5 years ago. I'm not saying he can't be fast now. He's a free agent that's been on the market for a little bit. No one else seemed to want him, I guess. And here we are, we have him. And that's fine. But I'm tired of saying that's fine. When it's one or two plays left in a game, and I'm going to keep saying this until I'm blue in the face, and we're against the Chiefs, what is that team looking at and being scared of? And we still don't have it. I don't know what we do about this. And this just feeds into, and I'll end here, what Bean was kind of mocking about wide receiver on Monday. And then as soon as that thing ends, we got reports of him going after a receiver. So I don't know. We got Josh Allen. We all always have a chance, but I'm tired of saying that. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Okay. I don't have last year here, but the first search I did on this has him less than half in 2023, 44% of snaps in the slot with Cleveland in 23. The year before that in New York, 49.6. So that's not overwhelming. It's a lot, but it's not 80%.
Well, it's what percent is it going to be here if he makes the team? Zero?
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
The Bills don't need that. They have a tight end that plays out of the slot, and they have Khalil Shakir. Not in that order. Cleveland is next. Hello.
How you doing? I think Elijah Moore is like more of a number two guy, if you ask me personally. If you look at his last year being 61 balls and the year before being 59, who was throwing him the ball? It was the terrible, horrible Deshaun Watson. So, I mean, not only you got a guy that's not probably throwing you catchable balls, you're probably not really motivated to play with that guy. And I think those two reasons immediately change when you play for Buffalo. You're going to get a guy, Josh Allen's going to get you the ball, and you're going to want to play for him. I mean, I think he sees an improvement. I think we can see him playing on the outside boundary. I think that's a good pickup. And I just want to say, you know, this whole thing, I'm one of those guys who I'll defend Bean until the wheels fall off. This guy knows what he's doing. As far as who are the teams afraid of, we know who that guy is. Let's stop joking around here. That guy is 17. He's always going to be that guy. He's got that effect where he's going to make players around him better. And we're losing to people who are considered to be the greatest of all time. I get it. Second place, if you're not in first, you're last. I get it. But, I mean, I think that the voices, especially when we get into the season and we hear some of these fans that start calling for Bean and McDermott's job, I think those voices are louder, and it's just not fair to those guys at all.
That's always how it is.
A great job.
That's always how it is everywhere, every sports, everything. It's always how it is. Maybe it isn't fair. I don't think I disagree, but yeah, I'll tell you every time the microcosm, the percentage of people that represent the fan base by calling talk shows and even tweeting is not necessarily representative of the fan base. Most of the fan base is much more casual about it.
Yeah.
And not interested in firing coaches ever, maybe. I mean, hardly ever, unless something embarrassing happens. That's just how it is. So, sure. Bill signed Elijah Moore, 1 year up to $5 million. He has not panned out in 4 years in the NFL. It was for the Jets and the Browns. We'll see here what the pecking order looks like. Not for a long time. Maybe we'll get a quote from the Bills about him that might give you a clue, but not for a long time. Worth a shot. You know, this is right back to last year, too. And the two sides of the coin, signing the likes of Claypool, which is, well, maybe the odds aren't great, but should you then just not do it? your point about draft one in the fourth round and see what you've got. That's kind of the same bet. Is should you just not do it? Should you draft a second defensive lineman instead? Or do you just want to maybe find, if you have a receiver whose skills you like well enough, then you go and do that. And this is some version of that, I think. And he's 25 and turned 25 in March. So still young enough to be, believable, to be credible. Just has not put together much of a career yet. We'll see. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here at 803-0550. This is WGR. Welcome back. Elijah Moore will be a Bill, or at least he will aspire to be one. He's signed with the team reportedly 1 year for up to $5 million. You're not a Bill unless you make the team. That's what I'm saying. But what would the odds be?
I think pretty good. I mean, I don't think he comes in over the... I would say he enters equal to Curtis Samuel in the pecking order. I recognize he's, Samuel's best years are his best year is better than anything Moore has done, but I think that's where I come down. He's not ahead of Josh Palmer or Keon Coleman or Khalil Shakir, but if your top four includes Samuel, which I think it does, then I think Moore's right there. And it's not to say like he has to make the team, but maybe one of those two guys doesn't, maybe, it is a place you could end up. I do think, up to $5 million. I mean, he obviously he's got to make the team. You mentioned Claypool a couple times. Claypool was like $1 million.
And MVS, there was more than that. There were maybe $3 million.
MVS was more
guaranteed
than that. Yeah.
Which I thought meant something.
Yeah.
And this is maybe more than that.
Yeah. So I feel like they like this idea more. It's more than just like the Chase Claypool flyer is all I'm saying. And maybe even more than the MVS flyer. And MVS, of course, made the team and didn't do very much and then went and, whatever, went on his way. So, I feel like this is a little more significant than those. Maybe even a lot more significant. Just more significant is all I need. I don't need a lot. But, doesn't really displace anything at the top.
Here's Lewis with us. Hi, Lewis.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, thank you.
I was looking up the 2021 draft prospects on Pro Football Focus, and Elijah Moore came in fifth. He was only behind Jamar Chase, Devontae Freeman, Jalen Waddle, Rashad Bateman, and he was fifth. And coincidentally, Josh Palmer was rated 10th in that same draft.
Devontae Smith, you might have meant, right?
Yeah.
Devontae Smith, I'm sorry, what did I say? Freeman?
Yeah, it's fine.
That's a guy, though, at least.
Devontae Smith.
That's okay.
And he's got 200 career catches and had 5 touchdowns with a pathetic Jets team in his rookie year. So he's definitely more than a Claypool-type flyer, in my opinion.
Well, we know he was a good prospect. He just hasn't been a good pro in 4 years. Like he definitely was a good prospect. I said that. We were talking right. about wanting to draft him at 30 in 2021, and he went 34.
And he had 61 catches for Cleveland last year. Didn't that lead the team?
Oh, I don't know. They won 3 games.
I still think it was either first or second on that team. I'm just saying with a good quarterback.
Yeah, Judy would have led them, I think. But yeah, okay.
Well, Judy probably, he had more than 61, but.
We can be as optimistic as we want. The league spoke. Yeah. The league has spoken on Elijah Moore. He was sitting there, and I don't blame the Bills for signing him. It could work. You're saying, you're giving us every reason why it would, and that's fine. You're a fan. I think it could work. It's just when a guy in free agency passes the draft. I don't know. It's not a great sign, is all. About what the league thinks of the player.
Yeah, I was just making the point more that the upside with the Bills is,
sure, it's worth it. Yeah,
you don't even know what he could have done.
It's worth trying.
Right.
For sure. And that is not to say that it's just a throwaway thing, because the money is more than any of the names that have come up here during this segment talking about other ideas that the Bills had recently, right, last year. So, I mean, they think that much of it. I don't know how much what Cleveland did yesterday with this weird little tag thing they threw on him changed the what he ends up getting paid, but the Bills felt well enough about it to do it.
It set the floor, maybe.
Yeah. Because
it was $3.4 million he would have been guaranteed by the Browns.
Right.
Had he not signed before a certain date in June. But that's not going to happen now. Thanks, Lewis. Getting connected with the fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Sal Capaccio gives us his read on the Elijah Moore news after sports. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.